In the book of Proverbs, we hear these words: "One who forgives an affront fosters friendship, but one who dwells on disputes will alienate a friend." Good old Peter, jumping in with 2 feet as usual, and as usual, not quite getting it right. I have here a copy of the Talmud, which is a Jewish book, and it's a digest of Jewish wisdom, reflecting on the various parts of the Torah, the law, and how people should react to it. So as I was going to talk about forgiveness, I thought I'd look up forgiveness in the Talmud. And it advises, so that you keep the congregation, the community together, don't go out deliberately to bring somebody you're in argument with to court. Delay it. Try at least 3 times to forgive them before you take them to court. 3 times was what was suggested. Peter, being Peter, is trying to get it right and says to Jesus, "How many times must I forgive? Is 7 times enough?" Peter's offering more than twice what the generous part of the law asked for. And Jesus says, you haven't got it right. I bet at the beginning of that, when Peter heard the words, "no," he was really pleased because it meant that he thought he'd got it right with Jesus. But in fact, Jesus says, "no." Not the translation we have there, but 70 times 7. 7 times 7 times 10. 77 times is not enough, even that. 490 times, and keep going. Infinite gift of forgiveness is what Jesus asks of people. But, as Jesus points out, forgiveness is not something which comes from the head. You can't think your way through it. It has to be part of your heart. Your heart has to be overcome with a desire to forgive, understanding that that is what God calls us to. Mercy did not reach the slave in that story. He had been forgiven millions of pounds of debt, and he was owed a few pence. But the mercy that the Lord had given him did not really register with his heart, and his heart still felt cold and empty, and he demanded restitution from the other man. He nearly throttles him to get the money out of him. Jesus acted not in any way other... Sorry, Jesus did not just say the words forgiveness, but he also acted out forgiveness. Many times we are asked to act out our faith. Jesus talked to Peter about the need for a great deal of forgiveness. And then he don't just say the words, but he acts them out. For on the cross he says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand. You do. You understand. Please forgive." That reminds us very much of the parable of the prodigal son, where the son does all he can, it seems, to offend his father. He takes money, goods out of the house, puts livelihood at risk, goes to a foreign country, and wastes all the money. And yet, the father, seeing him in the distance, is filled with compassion and forgives that son and rushes and hugs him and accepts him. That does not mean to say that when you act that way, you forget. Forgetting is part of the mind. You cannot forget something that has happened, but you can make sure that your heart does not become poisoned by by allowing what you feel to overcome you. You have to make sure that what you forget, well, you can't forget, but you can forgive, and it becomes part of who you are. Until you have forgiveness, there can be no real peace. Peace is wonderful. Peace is great. But it's just peace, unless it's backed by reconciliation and endless forgiveness. This week we have, on the 21st, the International Day for Peace. And I wonder what happens in places where there is no forgiveness, no lasting peace without reconciliation and forgiveness. Reconciliation comes from a Latin word which means cilia, which is the eyelashes. Reconciliation means that you get on the same wavelength as somebody else. You understand what they're saying. Your eye and eye meet. You are reconciled. You are the same as walking a whole day in somebody else's shoes. You know who they are and what they are. And then you can forgive. But what happens when there is no reconciliation and no forgiveness? I'm sure it acts like a poison running through a society. After the apartheid regime fell in South Africa, there was a Truth and Reconciliation Committee. Its aim was always to bring the two communities together so they could understand one another. And the same thing happened in Northern Ireland after the Troubles. They had a theology for reconciliation, leading to forgiveness, hoping to bring the communities together so that they could work as one, accepting differences, not forgetting, but being reconciled and loving one another. The problem, and I'm still wondering what's going to happen eventually when the war in Ukraine has finished. What will remain? How much hatred will there still be? Will there be attempts at reconciliation? Or will it be a festering sore of anger, bitterness, and a desire for revenge? We trust not. All people want peace, but it's always peace on their own terms. Some might say, sure, we can have peace after we've taken over your land. Not all peace is good. It's not a good peace if it means that you are slaves or driven from your land or your nation is disarmed, divided, and your people made to be second-class citizens. Your rights are surrendered, your people enslaved, driven away, or simply killed. For peace to be true, we have to live out reconciliation and forgiveness. The sort of forgiveness that Jesus showed, that even in the worst moments, he was prepared to say, Father, forgive. And I say, forgiveness is not forgetting. Let's just think what's been happening in our news recently. You all heard the name Lucy Letby. You've heard the nurse who killed many babies, and you wonder what the parents feel now. They'll never forget their little one that was taken away. But not forgiving can be a poison that runs through the whole of one's system. We mustn't let old grievances colour how we treat people. As Jesus said, don't come to worship harbouring a grudge. Sort it out before you come to worship. Then you can offer true worship to God. That's in Matthew chapter 5. Reconciliation and forgiveness are the true roots for truth, justice, and righteousness. And who can forget the examples currently in the news of places where there have been errors, failures, which will need forgiveness? What about that hilarious example of the British Museum? that didn't know that somebody under their noses was stealing their articles and selling them abroad? What about Martha's Law? A little girl of 13, 14, who died because nobody would listen to the parents. Somewhere along the line there, there's a failure of listening and of comprehension and of understanding. What about rack concrete? I don't know where that's going to end. I just trust this building is properly organised. I don't want bits falling on me in the middle of a sermon. I'm sure it is. I'm joking. But people there did not test the concrete properly over a long period and ignored warnings. And our planet, we have lots of warnings about the environment and wildlife becoming extinct. There are so many things which could easily go wrong. And personally, we could always say at the end of the day, how have I spent my time? I've been given time. How have I used it? Have I used it well? Or has God got a lot to forgive in me? I suspect God's got a lot to forgive in a lot of us in the way we spend our time. But God is generous. The generosity of God is limitless. I love the way in that reading about the parable we heard earlier of how those slaves, the other slaves, formed basically a trade union. They got together and they said, that's not right. And together they went and saw the master and had justice done for the slaves who had been put in prison. Jesus is saying, God has been generous to you. Think of all the things you have been given, all the great things in your life, your friends, your family, your relationships, your moments of hilarity, party time, friends time, talk time, the countryside, the beauty of flowers, of wildlife, and so on. Keep going, keep going, keep going. You've been given so many good, wonderful things by God. God is so generous. And that generosity that God has for you is a generosity that you are called upon to show to others. The generosity of forgiveness. One of the marks that we see in Jesus. Not just the words, but acted out on the cross. Father, forgive. He said that about the people who were desperately cruel to him. But I'm sure he's also saying that for us now. Father, forgive them. Forgive each one of us. For we are loved by God in an infinite way. We are loved. We are treasured. He will forgive. And if he will forgive us, then let us too forgive those that we meet day by day. Amen.